The Tom Woods Show, episode 2306.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I am running into a lot of progressives saying, look, police, fire, schools, these are all great examples of socialism. Well, let's focus on that school example. I've got a free ebook called Education Without the State that makes a pretty darn good case for a stateless approach to education. Pick it up at nostateeducation.com. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tom Woods Show, episode 2306. I'm so glad to be joined today by our old friend, Carla Garrick, who was former, what's the position at the Free State Project? Is it a chair? Is it a president?
I am currently chair. I'm president emeritus, but my favorite title is Queen Quill.
Okay, fine. And I guess I've known you, a zillion years or something. And because of your good nature, I've spoken at events you've held, the Liberty Forum, Pork Fest. And I grew up just over the border. I was not half an hour from the New Hampshire border growing up in North Andover, Massachusetts. And we would, on Sundays, drive over that border to get things we needed if we couldn't get them at home. But I guess it wasn't really the Sunday thing so much as it was the sales tax. There was no sales tax in New Hampshire, and we had one. And back then, it was a mere 5%.
Oh, yeah,
and now. And yet we would flee. And I remember there was a state senator who said, the border towns in Massachusetts are really suffering because everybody's driving over the border to New Hampshire to buy things without the sales tax. Maybe we should give sales tax relief to those towns. But then he realized that that would just basically create a new border of towns that would suffer because everyone would go to those towns. So we didn't know how to cope with New Hampshire. Anyway, welcome back, Carla.
Thank you so much, Tom. Yeah, no, New Hampshire is a special little place, not only because we're live free or die, but I actually just learned something I didn't know about New Hampshire is we are the only state that does not have a climate action plan. They actually tried to introduce one. I guess this is one of those crazy climate scam kind of things that they're doing in every single state. And we're the only one that doesn't have one. They tried to pass it recently and did not go through. And that together with, I also learned that there's some psychologist association, some national one that said the worst place to be a shrink is in New Hampshire. So I think those two things together, no climate action plan and a bad place for shrinks, probably makes us the sanest place in America.
That's a pretty good answer. All right, let's talk about what brings you here today. I'm thinking about this interview you did, and it was actually a whole look at the Free State Project in New Hampshire, which of course is a movement for anybody who might not know about this, to bring people to one state, sensible people, to try to carve out one state where you could live sensibly, more or less. And you were interviewed for this. So what was the network?
Okay, so this was NBC Boston 10. So it's actually, it's NBC, basically.
Yeah.
And they came to Porkfest last year. I actually was the first person who ran into them. And I'll talk about that in a sec. But basically what it is it's an 11-part series. The episodes are about 10 to 15 minutes, depending on what the subject is. They did an in-depth coverage. They cover a lot of free staters, but they also cover a lot of critics, which we haven't seen before. So what I found really interesting about this series is it depends who you talk to, but everyone seems to think that they did a pretty fair and balanced job. The critics like it. We like it. So I don't know, by some miracle of 2023 propaganda, turns out they did an okay job. So it's 11 episodes. It starts with Jason Sorens, episode 1. That's the sort of the manifesto, right? So of course they have to frame it that way. It makes it sound scary and everyone's like, oh, what's this going to be about? And then they cover Porkfest, where you have come, of course, and spoken over the years. And then they do, I believe it was sort of a covering the move. So, going out to a move party and following, someone who recently moved. There's a great episode on secession, Croydon, which you and I have talked about on previous episodes, of course. That was sort of school choice thing. There's the impact we're making, Freetown, New Hampshire primaries, the Crypto Six, which is a really interesting one. And then their final is sort of this pursuit of New Hampshire. So yeah, they claim they heard about this sort of secession thing that happened. And maybe just for your listeners back home, we did a show on this last year, I believe, late last year, you and I. Oh, but this, of course, for people who don't know, we introduced a bill. It was called CACR 32. It was a New Hampshire constitutional amendment that would put the question of secession to the voters of New Hampshire, right? So this was pure straight up, straight down. I've been in New Hampshire for 15 years. And in the time I've been here, we've passed, I believe, 3 constitutional amendments. So it is something that's done. New Hampshire doesn't have a referendum approach, right? So you can't like introduce something by referendum. So if you fundamentally want to change something in the state, you've got to do it through a constitutional amendment. And so we proposed this amendment, and it basically was 2 lines, and it would have gone on the ballot, and it freaked people out. So NBC Boston claims that they heard about this bill that was introduced in New Hampshire, and that was what sort of piqued their interest. And then they started doing research, and then they were like, wait a second, there's got to be a story here. And there is. And I think they actually did us fairly decent job. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch it yet, Tom.
Yeah. So I thought it was obvious that they are not on your side, but they were asking the kinds of questions that I think people should ask. And some of them were challenging. And I didn't have any problem with anything they asked, even though I thought, well, that's kind of a silly question, but I can understand why somebody would ask it. So I didn't think they were out to get you, that they were out to stick the knife in. It's good that it's not a 60 minutes format where they interview you and then they chop up the interview and they run the portions they want. I would never consent to that unless I could have the full unedited video that I could put up on YouTube, which they would never let me do. So you were able to just go in there with the full confidence that we're recording an interview and this whole thing, good or bad, is going to go up there on the air. Now, I thought one of the interesting questions they asked you that I'm sure you've had to handle over the years was, don't you think it's the case, given the fact that you had to organize thousands of people to come here to accomplish this, doesn't that in itself kind of prove to you that most people in New Hampshire don't want your crazy ideas? And you're bringing your crazy ideas here with this organizing of all these thousands of people. Don't you understand why some people might want to tell you to take a hike?
Yeah, you know, I thought that was really interesting. And just for folks back home, you know, you can find the series if you search for NBC Boston 10 Free State Project. It'll get you there, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of New Hampshire. So what they did is they did these really short episodes, and then they invited a lot of the people who are featured in the episodes into the studio. And basically what they did is they showed the episode on NECN, I think. So that's the big cable thing, you know. So people were literally, not for me, but friends of Free Staters' parents were like calling their kids and being like, oh my God, I'm watching this on TV. Like everyone was like super excited about it. But the huge opportunity there was that it was, so we did a watch party. They have the camera on your face. You're like hoping you're not picking your nose when they, you know, put the camera on you. I was scratching my nose for the record. Like that. And then we had this 15-minute interview at the end, right? And 15 minutes on a news show is a lot of time, right? Usually we all get a 2-minute soundbite, how much can I say kind of thing. So that was very interesting. Now, they started with "I gotchas" immediately from me. And I think this is important for listeners to understand, because there's this tendency, I think, amongst us to say we don't trust the media. We don't want to be interviewed. You just said it yourself. If you do a long form, or in this case, what they were doing is they were actually following me around. It was like having a reality TV show kind of. I was mic'd for like 8 hours at a time, going about my business and stuff. And that's stressful because you actually have to be mindful the whole time. Don't say anything beyond Carla's usual stupid, crazy stuff, right? And I actually would take a different mindset to a lot of people. I just think that if we are going to win, we have to be willing to talk to these people. We have to be mindful about how we present. So if you don't think you can do it, please don't do it. But if you could put on a clean shirt and string a sentence together, I think we should aggressively be out there trying to communicate our ideas. Now, of course, for me, I knew the second they did the intro, they said to me, oh, Carla Garrick in the studio with us, author and activist. And I was like waiting for attorney, right? Author, activist, attorney. And when they said author, activist and stop, my little lizard brain was like, all right, girl, put on your big girl pants because it's on. The first question out of the gate, remember this was an episode for Porkfest, was trans rights. And I was like, okay, like, I don't know why anyone's asking me about this. But then I applied every single lesson that we have learned over time. First of all, answer the question you want to answer, right? So redirect to the extent you can, if you can think on your feet. In the first question, and this is really something I think people need to, on our side, need to start to learn, is there are techniques to deal with the media, right? So if you go in and you know, well, I'm going to have limited time, then in your first answer, you actually want to say whatever, like you're trying to get out, right? So everyone buy their Porkfest ticket by way of example, right? And so, yeah, they gave us all a fair amount of time to speak and to say sort of what we wanted to get out. And there was a fairly good philosophical conversation about, I think, the principles of liberty. And then, of course, as you said, they like to ask those questions where they're like, well, you're a minority, right? They actually like literally said that to me. But they started with trans rights. And then somewhere along the line, they were like, well, you have unpopular minority views. And so you don't deserve to exist. Now, of course, those aren't their actual words, but that's kind of the note. And I think I got them good.
You're an unapproved minority. It's okay to be a minority as long as we like you.
Yeah. And I find that fascinating. And I do think, because I'm an eternal optimist, regardless of what my book's title says, that we're winning because they can't actually counter a lot of these arguments, right? Which is why they need the censorship and they need to like divide us and say these people aren't allowed to talk to each other and that kind of stuff. But one of the interviewers, Sue O'Connell, I think, I mean, I don't know if she just has a headset. Like she literally had three I gotcha questions. The one, every single time she asked something, because she's, and I'm just repeating what she said, she's a lesbian with an immunocompromised trans kid. And somehow that came into every single conversation with free staters, not with one of the critics, not once did that come up. The other I got you question was, oh, well, you guys don't believe in the government. The you can't use the roads argument, right? So they were like, oh, what kind of benefits have you ever taken from the government? Carla, Jason Sorens, like every single free stater who went up. Not once did they ask any of the critics any of those questions. And I actually tweeted at Sue afterwards and I was like, well, I think you should be asking them if they work for the government. It's not only that we have taken benefits. And so in my case, they were like, have you ever, you know, taken government benefits? And I was like, yeah, in 2000, when the economy collapsed after the last dot-com bubble burst, my husband lost his company. I lost my job and I took unemployment. And she was sort of like, ha ha. And I was like, but lady, I also paid more than $50,000 in federal income taxes that year. And yeah. I didn't get like a tenth of the money back. So you don't, I gotcha me. I would like to have all my money, please. Oh, so, you know, it's been an interesting.
But on that specific question, even if it's not coming from journalists who don't necessarily like you, you could imagine the average person saying, what are you doing coming into our state and bringing your crazy ideas? We had a perfectly good state until you got here. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, the first thing I say is, excuse me, is your slogan live free or die or what's up, right? So, I mean, New Hampshire has an independent streak. It has always had it. When I moved here 15 years ago, I thought, well, maybe it's a little bit of lip service, right? Like you want it to be that way, but then there's perception and there's reality, which we understand because nary those two are about to collide in so many ways, including in the financial markets and all the other things, right? But if you talk to an average Granite Stater, that live free or die ethos is here. You talk, the three ladies who live across the street are my prime example for everything. They're all older. One's 87, I think, and she's a chain smoker. There are two sisters in the middle, and then there's a healthier Catholic nun kind of type of lady at the end of the street. So my whole approach is, can I talk to any of these ladies about what I'm doing, right? So I just really mindfully try to be like, how do you frame what we're trying to do in a way that your neighbors can understand? And I'll talk to them and they'll be like, oh, Biden's just as rotten as Bush, as Obama, as Trump, as whoever. Like they get on a very instinctive level, they understand the sort of uniparty. They may not call it that, but they do fundamentally understand that. So we chose New Hampshire because of many, many reasons, including the sales tax you talked about, no personal income tax. We're tapering the dividends and interest down to zero in 2026, so it'll be truly income tax free. And I think we just picked the right place. I understand for the surrounding states that they have a sense of, oh, we don't want this liberty outlier here in the middle of our little East Coast commie land, right? Vermont's trying very hard to become, I don't know, the Vermont Kong or something. I don't know what Bernie and those folks are up there doing. But, you know, we are staying this little free beacon, this little place, small state, 1.2 million people. And we are the only state. I know Florida likes to brag a lot, but honestly, we are the only state where liberty is truly expanding, where we're cutting taxes, we're cutting budgets. And for good or bad, to be candid, Tom, I think they figured out we're here. And I do think we're in for a bit of a time, right? Like we're very grassroots. We are scrappy. We are decentralized, everyone's doing their own little thing. And we are seeing a lot of dark money come in. We know in this last election, they fought us pretty hard. There were towns that had signs out saying, beware of the free staters. There are mailings going out. I'm pretty sure they tried to murder me, and I'm not even making that up. So, true story, the day after the primaries, my husband was going to fly somewhere for a business trip or something. And we were in the car together and the car was making a weird noise. And he was like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know. I'll have it checked out while you're gone. And he was like, no, I know you very well, dear wife. You won't have it checked out. So I'm going to take the car in right now while I'm still around. Every single lug nut on my car's wheel was loosened. So if I had not listened to Louis and I just, as I am wont to do, jumped on a highway, things could have been dark. So, you know, we jumped.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. And like 4 years ago when I ran, someone actually stabbed my tire. So there's some crazy, nasty people out there. And it's so strange to me because one of the things I learned actually in this whole experience with people, we don't always come into contact with super lefties or people who totally don't think the way we think. But I have recently, and one of the fascinating things I just discovered is that people who are anti-gun or who don't understand guns literally think like a gun in a room is inherently dangerous. Like there was this guy at Liberty Forum, Tom, who was a journalist. He's doing a Bitcoin documentary, and I believe he's Brazilian by birth and is living in Berlin or something, but or Dubai, actually. He's living in Dubai. And he was in a room. It was during Liberty Forum. We were having a dinner and we were in a smallish room. It was a little side room. And he talked to the guy next to him and he said, what, you have a gun? And the guy got up and he showed him he was carrying and he was like, oh my God. And then I looked around and someone else at the table was like, do you want to see mine? And then like I looked around and I was like, dude, there are probably like 40 guns in this room right now. And his mind was just blown because he was like, but no one's died yet. And I actually thought he was joking because I was like, he can't possibly just think that just having a gun means someone's going to die.
You say things like that and all I can think of are the things, the nitpicky things that libertarians argue about among ourselves. Now, sometimes libertarians are arguing about really important differences we have. But you know that even when we're with friends where we agree 99.9% of the time, It's just too tempting not to argue about that 0.1%. And then you come across somebody like this who makes a crazy statement like that, and you think, why am I even bothering to argue about these nitpicky things when I have these, when I have a huge swath of America that's living in an alternate moral universe? Now, while I have the mic for a minute, let me just say that as I was watching you in this, I kept thinking to myself, and I'm saying this in all honesty, not just because you're sitting here, but I kept saying to myself, she is such a good ambassador for us because you're a person of good humor, friendly, approachable. You're not a snob. You're not crazy. You might be a little quirky, but obviously in a charming way. And so people might say, well, I don't necessarily agree with her on everything, but she doesn't seem like an evil person, you know? And it's hard after listening to you to think, well, these people are just evil and maybe they would have voted for Hitler or something. You know, it's much, much, much more difficult to do that after hearing you talk. And I couldn't help thinking to myself, I know a lot of people who would not play that role well.
Thank you. And I appreciate that, Tom. I do feel like I've sort of grown into it. I'm catching my stride. I'm in my prime, you know, so I'm going to ride this wave and try and be that good ambassador. Because I think as long as people understand we're talking about ideas, and as libertarians, the non-aggression principle part, that's a good part to lead with because it makes it very difficult for people then when they're trying to put you in a box. Because even with the secession stuff, we're like, no, literally the words in the bill said peacefully secede. And it is always the other side that then comes with the violent arguments. They don't see it that way. But I've come to realize it's not just rhetoric. I think they're scared of guns because they're scared of themselves, because they actually do seem, based on the things they say to me when I'm talking to them, to have fairly violent tendencies. I mean, everyone who with a straight face will say to you, you can't even have a conversation about national divorce, will say to you, because it's going to lead to war. And I'm like, we're not going to start shooting. So are you saying you're about to murder us? So let's just be real clear about, you know, the lay of the land here. Like, I'm coming in peace. If you think there's going to be bloodshed, it's you. You know, it's not me. It's you.
Yeah. And when Sweden and Norway separated, nobody died. Why would they? There's no particular reason to think that. So something's going on. Or it could simply be we're not dealing with people who think outside the box or have a lot of original ideas. So what they do is absorb the ideas that are given to them. And one of them is, well, you have a, quote, civil war if one side decides to leave. But why would that be? You don't have a civil war when a husband and wife get divorced. You have some unpleasantness maybe, but they don't necessarily take up arms against each other.
No, exactly.
Or if my wing of the chess club wants to go its own way, there are no tanks in the streets. There's no reason that would have to be the case.
Yeah, and I think that is just, we are at the stage. I mean, obviously both of us went through COVID mania, so we understand that maybe the critical thinking skills of the world are not as sophisticated as I certainly was hoping. I mean, I've always been like, oh, there are a lot of dummies, but I thought they were just sort of harmless. Now I'm like, oh, no, those big unwashed masses. It's an issue. It's definitely a issue. But yeah, I'm just going to encourage everyone listening to this to definitely go check out that series. I think it does us very well. It does address some of the things that have come up over the years. I think it's very interesting that we have some of our critics stepping out. For the 15 years I've been in New Hampshire, I've been a big proponent of, I just ignore people who are nasty. Now that someone tried to murder me, I'm a little less inclined to go that way. I've always been super nice. So I might start fighting back a little more hard. I am a big proponent of what's good for the geese is good for the gander. So if you're going to do, I'm not attacking anyone's car wheels, just to be real clear here. But a lot of these people are, maybe we'll start looking at their financing. Maybe there'll be some mailings that go out for their candidates. If people want us to disclose that we're free staters when we're running for office, which I don't really understand because we don't expect people to go, I'm the chess club or I'm whatever. But if that's how we all want to play, I would like the people who are democratic socialists and communists to disclose that on their mailers. So these folks just need to be a little careful because we've always been super nice and just sort of been like, oh, that's irrelevant. But maybe it is time to start looking a little more closely at the way they treat us. And what's good for the geese again is good for the gander. Before we run out of time, I did want to mention a few things. Obviously, I did say Porkfest there in the middle somewhere. That is coming up in June, third week in June. Tickets are available. We're almost close to sold out already. So people need to jump on that as soon as they can. And we're making our own Free State Aligned, I guess. It is an independent feature-length documentary that is coming out. It's called the Free State Documentary, and we are looking for funding for that. So if folks are listening and they're like really into what we're doing, because in some ways people need to remember what we're doing with the Free State Project is we're the doers who are out there on the front lines. We all like to sit in the ivory towers and have theories about stuff and do those line by line arguing about the nuances of the philosophy of liberty. A lot of us are just doing it and it's hard and it's not always perfect. And of course, nothing is perfect in the world. We are literally just navigating our lifespans here. But we could take some support for that documentary that should come out. We're hoping to debut it at next year's Freedom Fest. So if folks want to get involved with that. And then genuinely just encouraging people to come visit. If you can't make it to Liberty Forum, if you can't make it for Porkfest, New Hampshire is a great state. It's beautiful. We have our calendar, fsp.org/calendar. We keep that up to date. It's very accurate. People can look at that. You can see what's going on. So you can come at any time. So basically fsp.org/visit. Come visit. Come meet the community. We do need reinforcements. I'm in this constant tension, Tom, between wanting the philosophy of liberty to spread everywhere, because that's my fundamental desire, right? To have a more free world, which I believe will be more peaceful and prosperous. But also, I think we've got to do it here in New Hampshire first. And so we do want more people to move. We do want people to support this. And honestly, if there is going to be one libertarian state, it's going to be New Hampshire. I think other states will have slightly different flavors, but I want this one to be black and gold.
Well, fair enough. I will also link at tomwoods.com/2306 to what we've been talking about, which is this feature on the Free State Project that features you and people can check it out for themselves. So that's tomwoods.com/2306. Thanks so much, Carla. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.